Our world has problems. But have you heard about the planets of the interdependency? The collapse of the flow is at hand, that interstellar pathway of commerce between those inhabited orbs governed by the interdependency. Emperor Greyland II has to fight off a coup, while her inamorato, or however it's said in the interdependency, Lord Mars Claremont, the eminent physicist, tries to figure out how to halt the collapse of a whole system of planets and save the worlds. Note that S. Do you know what I'm saying? Well, multitudes of science fiction fans do, and not just science fiction fans. The Last Empro is the latest novel and the last in the Interdependency trilogy by John Scalzi, the best-selling Hugo Award-winning science fiction novelist. He joins us from his home in Ohio. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Scientists had predicted the collapse of the flow, hadn't they? What prevented the world from acting?
Primarily wish fulfillment and greed. The idea that, sure, this thing is going to happen, but is it really going to happen the way that the scientists and experts say it's going to happen? And even if it is happening in that way, isn't there a way that we can work it to our advantage so that when it finally does happen, we'll still be okay while everybody else is kind of in trouble?
Oh, my word. Has your book come out at exactly the right time?
It is such a strange thing. When I started writing this trilogy, I first imagined it in 2014, and the circumstances of the world obviously were so different then. And as we have gone along, so many things in the books just sort of match up in parallel with what's going on in the world. And some of that was completely unintentional. It was just the pace of the story. But some of it was, I live in the world. Science fiction is written about the future, but it takes place, you know, the people who write it live now. So it is almost axiomatic that what's happening in the world now is going to affect how the stories get told.
Women have a lot of power in your worlds, the ones you write about. The Empro, Nadasha, her archenemy, Kiva Lagos, my favorite character. But I have to ask, are they any more inclined to act wisely or morally than powerful men have in our history?
No. And the thing about that is that I believe that given the same opportunities as men, the same power as men, the same motivations as men, women will exhibit the same range of motivations, fears, desires as men do. But what's important is in the interdependency, which takes place, let's say, about 1,500 years in the future, a lot of the issues of patriarchy, a lot of the issues that women have to deal with in our world right now are, if not solved, have been ameliorated through technology, through society having some advances.
Well, but I did wonder at the same time, reading this book, 15 centuries ahead of our own, why don't we make more progress?
I'm sorry, that was not meant to be an evil laugh. What it is, the thing about it is that humans advance technologically. We advance in terms of our complexities of governments and society, but the human animal has been the same for the last 100,000 years. If you were to take someone from 25,000 years ago, pluck them up as a child, bring them forward, and socialize them to be just like everybody else, they would be just like everybody else. We are the same animal. We're running the same software in our brains. That being the case, 1,500 years in the future, humans will still have the same problems, motivations, and recognizable things that they do that we have. They will still be venal. They're still going to be willing to put their immediate circle of people in front of everybody else. On the flip side, they're also going to be willing to do things that are selfless, that are generous. But the human animal is not going to change. And so what happens is we're going to still be able to relate to the people 1,500 years in the future, just as we relate to the plays of Shakespeare or what's going on in the Iliad or the Odyssey, because those people separated, even though they are by millennia or centuries, are still recognizable to us by what they do and how they feel.
How do you keep all of this in your mind, all the characters, all the worlds, all the books for that matter at this point?
Quite honestly, if there's something in the books that I don't quite remember and I don't want to look it up, I'll just go to Twitter and ask my fans what it is. And I'll be like, what was the name of that place in the second book where I had Kiva Lagos talking to such and such character? And they will immediately answer. And having fans is really useful in that regard.
Yeah. In the times in which we're living now, is it nice to be able to spend time in these other worlds?
It is, very much so. One of the things that is true about the age that we're living now is that it presses in on you. It's very hard to get out of it. And for the last several years, it's been very hard to shift into that storytelling mode and to get out of this world and to go into a different one. But I can say that once I'm in it, that there is some freedom to imagine these worlds, to imagine these characters who have completely different sets of problems. There are parallels between what's going on in the world today and what happens in the books. It's inevitable because, again, I live in the world. Mm-hmm. My readers live in the world. But to some extent, I have control of what's going on in these worlds. I have control of the story. Having that little bit of control makes a huge difference. And also, it's just fun to imagine. It's fun to see where we might be in 1,500 years.
John Scalzi, his novel, The Last in a Trilogy, The Last Impro, with an X on the end. Thanks so much for being with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
B.J. Lederman writes the theme music in our world,